Now to the Chilean-born filmmaker Raul Ruiz, who died in Paris on August 19th. Ruiz was a filmmaker of singular genius, a visionary who mixed styles and genres and loved to create puzzles and play mind games. "Why make anything simple?" he said once, "when you could make it complicated." You could think of him as a precursor to Peter Greenaway, with wider visual and musical tastes, or David Lynch, but much more prolific than either of these two, and with a more erudite curiosity. I think of him somehow as being a kind of kindred soul to Borges, but with a more visual imagination. Ruiz was born in Chile and made his first films there, but he became an exile in France after the overthrow of the Allende government, whom he worked for a while. And over the course of his career, he worked throughout the world, often in television and across a range of budgets. From the 90s on, he became better known and began working with higher-profile actors such as Catherine Deneuve, Marcello Mastroianni and John Malkovich, who actually played the artist Klimt in Ruiz's 2006 biopic. Raul Ruiz came to Australia in the early 90s, and I do recall a speculative conversation with him about a plan to make a part of Dante's Inferno, or maybe it was some other European masterwork, in Tuscan dialect. A dialect, I know, it's full of plosive, ribald and slangy names and as many gutturals as Catalan. For us, it seemed like a time trip back to pre-Renaissance Italy, hearing this spoken, and it is today. The man had a marvellous curiosity. Ruiz had over 100 credits as a director. He leaves us with a new masterwork, Mysteries of Lisbon. Based on a novel by Portuguese writer Camilo Castelo Branco, it's a made-for-television miniseries set amid the Portuguese aristocracy in the 19th century. It begins with an orphan boy in a convent school and from there unravels, exploring via a fluid, time-shifting structure across countries and continents. Intricate backstories and the destinies of a myriad of characters, all interconnected in strange and unexpected ways. This is the thing, Ruiz never totally explained everything. He's the very antithesis of Hollywood. He leaves you working it out. Our guest to talk about Raul Ruiz is a man who knew him and met him many times, the Melbourne-based film scholar Adrian Martin.
He was a complex beast politically. He was essentially left-wing, and he remained so all his life. But he had a real problem with what he thought was the earnestness of political filmmaking. And basically, Raul always had a more wry view of political idealism. He once told me, and this is very relevant to the Mysteries of Lisbon, he told me that the kind of storytelling that he loved as a child was soap operas, particularly Mexican soap operas on the radio and later on television. What he mentioned about soap operas is he said no one's in charge of their lives. He said that the typical Mexican soap opera is about a girl on the street selling flowers. Suddenly a cab pulls up and a rich man says, "Sing me a few notes." She sings, she has a beautiful voice. Suddenly there's a cut, she's the greatest opera star in Europe. Yeah. And then suddenly a helicopter crashes into the concert hall. She's crippled, she loses her voice, she ends up back on the street selling flowers, the end of her life. Yeah.
Yes, I think I've read an anecdote of him talking about the two theatres, cinemas that there were in his town growing up in Chile. One showed kind of Italian neorealist films and the more serious sort of French films and so forth. The other one showed things like the Flash Gordon serials and so forth, and he would tend to go to the other theatre. So his tastes were quite populist in one sense. He, though, stands at an intersection, doesn't he, between certain populist tastes and a very serious intellectual mind, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, Raul was definitely an intellectual, you know, and many of his films, of course, would definitely be categorised as art films in one way or another. Some of them are quite difficult in various ways to watch and to follow. But there is, in fact, always an intense entertainment factor, and particularly humour, often a very strange sense of humour in Ruiz's work. But it's never absent.
I want to ask about a quote that I'd once read from Raul Ruiz. he talked about how much he loved his own culture. He was referring to Latin American culture, but he loved it as an artist because he loved the kind of the foundation that it set up for him. And he talks about Latin American culture as being forged in the Baroque. And his work is, in a sense, very complex and has echoes of that Baroque. I would imagine that there'd be some people who'd want to categorise him as a postmodern sort of artist too.
You're absolutely right. When Wirral was once asked about postmodernism, did he consider himself a postmodern artist? He said, look, you know, the Baroque did all that postmodern stuff a long, long time ago. And for him, the fascination of it was this notion of, yeah, you're never just telling one story. You're never just in one place or space. You're never just with one central character. You multiply the worlds, you multiply the paths, the stories, the destinies, whatever it may be. And he once said that all of his work was an investigation of how to build a bridge between one story and another, between one world and another.
Well, we have a clip now from the Radio National Archives of the man himself, Raul Ruiz, talking down the line in 1993 about his work and the way he liked to play with genres to mix so-called high and low culture. Raul Ruiz.
Personally, for me, was natural. But I suppose this is something that's quite normal in Latin America, where you can, if you're a normal reader, at least in the 50s, they were able to mix Wells and Chesterton and Shakespeare and Freud in the same book. That was a sort of magazine, very big magazine of 500 pages, where all kind of novels, all kind of writers were mixed with recipes of cooking, and I suppose was Jorge Luis Borges, who would teach our generation that those who were supposed to be very bad or popular writers like Stevenson or Chesterton or Kipling were good writers, and those who were supposed to be good writers were not so good as Thomas Mann. Maybe it's a sort of subversion that pushed me to be interested in all kind of popular culture, and the fact that I myself have to work very fast made that I mixed that very naturally and in the, let's say, in a surrealistic way. It's not by conviction, but by necessity.
The voice of the late Raul Ruiz. Adrian Martin, you could say that Ruiz's death comes at a high point, in a sense, with his Mysteries of Lisbon still doing the festival circuit, showing in art house cinemas around the world. In fact, it screened last month at the Melbourne International Film Festival. It's been critically acclaimed. There were two versions, a TV version that was spanned some 6 hours, and a cinema version, which had been cut down to two films and was just over 4 hours. It's interesting that it comes out in a time where certain critics are telling us that we're at a new height of television narrative with sort of, you know, high quality HBO series like The Wire and so forth. And there's a lot of talk of these series being a return to the great heights of the 19th century novel.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, The Wire is great, and a lot of what HBO and Canal Plus and other TV companies are doing is great. But I find this invocation of, hey, let's go back to the 19th century novel in HBO television series, I find this actually offensive, because it manages to sort of wipe out the entire century of cinema in between. Whereas I think Raoul has totally got his hand gripped firmly on what makes cinema cinema. And let's just mention one thing, the camera. Like, he never stops moving the camera in Mysteries of Lisbon, and he moves it in the most inventive and extraordinary ways. I mean, you look at something like Olivier Assayas's Carlos, which is very interesting in many ways.
Yes, which is also made for TV, yep.
Indeed, yeah, that's what I mean. Originally a long series, mm-hmm. and then also cut down for cinema. But you can tell that Assayas is not working at his full strength as a director there, that he's working very fast, he's having to cover so many hours and so many years in the original person's life and so on. Now, Raoul, because he's made so many things so cheap and so fast in his life, he reached the point where he can be virtuosic even if he's working quickly.
Mm.
Every single scene of Mysteries of Lisbon is beautifully staged.
And it's interesting, I mean, there's so much playfulness in this film. I can think of this altercation that happens between two noblemen on a bridge, and we mainly see it at least from a bystander who is this quite important character in Mysteries of Lisbon, a priest, who's travelling along in a carriage, and the carriage stops and he sort of looks at this, at the action. We hear it off screen more than we see it. And then when the fight, which becomes quite a messy, sort of almost comical physical fight, enters screen, we see it through the frame of the door of the carriage. So we even then don't see it completely. And it's quite comical, which is interesting because it's an otherwise very tense and potentially lethal scene.
Well, that's part of the Baroque aesthetic in Ruiz, is you know, everything is frames within frames. Mm. Like, you're always watching things at a distance or through things, through doorways, through unusual framing devices. It's also to do with, I once asked Raoul about this. I said, you know, look, Raoul, I love your work, you know it, but there isn't much sex and violence in your films, you know. You seem a bit shy about that.
Even when there is sex and violence, I should say,
that's right?
Yeah, because Mysteries of Lisbon is full of sex and violence.
But, no, you're absolutely
go on.
Right.
No, but
yes, but shown indirectly, just as you're saying.
And what did he say?
But his answer to that, he was delighted. He said, no one has ever asked me that question. He said, you're wrong, Adrian. Sex and violence is everywhere in my films, not as content. He said, it's in the colour, it's in the rhythm. Like he said, you know, sex runs the universe. It's in the water, all the shots of oceans and rivers that you see in his work. He said, it's in the sky. Mm. You know, he said, sex and violence are the drives that are everywhere. But he said, but I just don't put them in characters primarily. I put them in the whole world that is formed into a material film.
Mysteries of Lisbon is not his first attempt to make a series for TV. Is this a good in for people new to his work? Is it emblematic of his work?
It is, and it's the kind of thing I hope that SBS will take up and show, because in many ways it's perfect SBS material. It's a costume drama. It goes across several generations of a group of characters. It's got, you know, love, betrayal, politics, historical backdrop, and it's also 100% a Ruiz film in that it has these multiple stories that are surprising. Like, basically you start in one place with a certain image of a number of characters, a boy named Pedro, a priest named Father Denise, and so on. And then we jump in time, and we get the backstory, the previous story of the priest, and we get the later life of the boy, we get the secret life of the mother, and so on and so forth.
Well, there's a lot of secret lives coming out here, aren't there? And then as we discover the secret past lives of other people, I mean, we discover this priest has had various identities in his past. He's been a soldier, he's been a horse thief, and, you know, the figure of the priest is someone who's often very heroic, especially in Latin cinemas. He embodies a kind of noble, level-headed kind of hero who's lived, who's got a very Machiavellian sense of the world, or at least an ability to sort of be strategic.
You're absolutely right. Like, Raoul truly did respect survivors, and he regarded himself as one, and a survivor is a trickster. Raoul was someone who believed in that life was a constant improvisation.
Yeah.
You know, you had to constantly improvise your moves and seize what opportunities came and ride these completely unknowable waves of coincidence and unfathomable destiny.
Was there a sense of spirituality or spiritual belief in that sort of carried over from his intellectual interest in, you know, chance and coincidence in the narrative context?
My sense, knowing him over 20 years, is that he didn't believe in God, and he didn't believe in, like, one ultimate meaning of life. But his way of approaching that, of dealing with that, was in a sense to think of life and to think of art as a constant process of reflective play. And through that, I would say he kept all of those big questions of is there a God, is there an ultimate meaning to life, he kept those questions perpetually open.
A great humanist, it sounds like, in the end. I don't know if you'd classify him, though, as a humanist. As such,
I don't think he would have. I think he would have almost been insulted by that, sort of with a wry smile. He would have cajoled you for that, because for him, the human person is not the centre of the universe. And he disliked, for instance, Hollywood storytelling that always put the human person, the hero, the individual at the centre of everything. In a way, he had a vision a bit more like Terrence Malick in The Tree of Life. It's, you know, the human is just like one atom, one molecule, you know, in the whole span of everything that is the cosmos.
The late Raoul Ruiz, remembered there by Monash University film scholar Adrian Martin, talking with Jason DeRosso. Adrian is a convener of World Cinema Now, a symposium which has screenings and talks at ACME in Melbourne later this month. And we'll put a link to that on our website as well. Mysteries of Lisbon, Ruiz's last double banger or mini feature or mini series, is available on DVD, and you might look for some others by Ruiz while you were there. And that's the show this week. Thanks, Paul Gough, Jason DeRosso and Louis Mitchell. I'm Julie Rigg. A special hello to Julianne Ford. See the rest of you in the front stalls.